Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
We're not waiting for some event to take place before Jesus can return. He can come whenever he chooses. We're literally living on the edge of eternity. You're one breath away.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor overviews our upcoming series on the book of Revelation as we focus on the opening verses of this final book of the Bible with a message Pastor calls Roadmap to Revealing Christ.
John was the last of 12 original apostles. For the previous 30 years, he had written multiple letters. He had written one as the Gospels. He had written to document all the suffering of who Christ was. And then he wrote another three small letters that he wrote about 20 years later to encourage them to continue on this relationship with now who Jesus was as a suffering lamb, to him being one that we were going to worship. And so you had these believers that were very discouraged, and it had been going on now for 50, 60 years, and Jesus is coming back, but he's not around. And they were getting so discouraged that the primary reason this book was written is what John pins in the first three verses that I want to look at with four very simple insights to help us lay the groundwork for Revelation. Number one, the central person of the Revelation. Notice in verse 1, it says very simply, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Let me stop here. Very simply, what he's saying is, the very person is who it's all about. It's not about prophecy. It's not about all the events. And many times where we get so tied up in everything going on that we miss the fact it's about this person. And that's why the very first words of Revelation start with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice number two, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Notice, if you would, very simple, the central person, that's Christ. Number two is the clear purpose of Revelation. This is what he says in verse 1 into verse 2. The very clear purpose of Revelation is to be able to help us know what shortly is going to come to pass. Let me give you the third thought and the insight, and you find that in verse 3 when he says the comforting promise is, blessed is he that reads it. And they that hear the words of this prophecy, very simply, it was meant to be read out loud to the churches. He's saying, listen, if you would take the Bible, you would read it, and you would listen to it, and you'd obey it as much as you know how, he says you will be blessed. And the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, gives you stability when you look forward to his coming. The book of Revelation is a blessing because it's stabilizing hope in these days which we live. And this is why, lastly, when you end up finding him moving from that clear person or central person to a clear purpose, to this comforting promise, he finally says in verse number 3, in the end of verse 3, for the time is at hand. You know what he's saying here? That's the prophecy. It's sure, it's complete. The prophecy of Revelation of Jesus Christ, he is going to come back. It's all going to be okay. And this dark world we live in, John is saying, listen, take comfort in this. You're going to be blessed. The time is at hand. He says it continually. I jotted down in 1 Peter chapter 4, the end of all things is at hand. That's how Peter said it. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer. He said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, all things happen to them for examples, unto whom the ends of the world are come. You read about it in James, James chapter 5, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. But you end up saying, listen, wait a minute, this has been going on like 2,000 years, and we've been living in the last days for more than 2,000 years. There's over 1,000 prophecies, and all have been completed that need to be complete before Jesus comes back. We're not waiting for anything. All the stage is set. There's nothing else that needs to happen according to God's word for Christ to come back. And it's an awesome thought to realize he's talking about the second coming that Revelation lays out. But the Bible also deals with what we call the rapture. That's the next big event on God's timetable. And I'm encouraged to realize that Satan, he doesn't like the book of Revelation. He doesn't like the book of Genesis. Fact is, in Genesis, Satan's doom is prophesied. In the book of Revelation, it's realized. There's no devil in the first two chapters of God's word, and there's no devil in the last two chapters of God's word. And every child of God, these are the books that tie the gospel message together. You say, well, man, I mean, the time is at hand. Literally, very simply, it means the future is now. There, see, there's a big difference between the word immediate and imminent. It doesn't mean when he says the time is at hand that it's immediate. It means it's imminent. In other words, he can come at any moment. We're not waiting for some event to take place before Jesus can return. He can come whenever he chooses. We're literally living on the edge of eternity. You're one breath away. You might not have time to be waiting for Jesus to come back. There are people today that are waiting for death. Some of them are welcoming it. They can't wait as children of God. This is our world with sorrows mixed with joy, pain meet with pleasure. How can you in one moment, it's just like, yes, and then something else happens, think it's so sorrowful. This is our world we live in. This is reality. But the fact is that John's saying, hey, let me pull the curtain back a little bit. Let me help you see this is the world that you're living in. You are certain of arrival as a child of God, but you're going to be amazed to be there with sights and sounds that are moving from one-dimensional to three-dimensional and beyond. A world in which, as Revelation you'd read through, would find some unbelievable stories and events. Some of them are so symbolic because it's much more powerful to help you know that these things are all going to be okay. Really. And the more you stay in this book, the more blessed you are to realize that what this world is coming to, it's coming to Jesus Christ. And it's a great, great event to realize that it gives you hope. It gives you assurance. It gives you stability. It puts you in a place to realize that no matter what goes on, it seems like an incredible long time. But to us that are bound by, listen to me, time, space, and matter, Jesus says through his word, listen, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So our own time frame is much warped. There was a day in which man lived in this earth that some of you read in the Old Testament were living 700, 800, 900 years. And we think, wow, 7 years, you know, 80 years. And so we have to understand we've got to take our thinking and have it like God's thinking. And when you realize as you go through the book of Revelation, it can be an incredibly encouraging time. You know, there was an older man that talked to this young theologian. This young theologian was explaining everything about the revelations and all of the symbolism and all the seals and the bowls and the vials and the judgments. And the old man said, listen, I totally understand Revelation. This young guy said, what are you talking about? You don't even have the seminary training that I have. You don't can't explain all that. It's like a puzzle. It's an enigma. The old man said, I totally understand it. He said, well, explain it to me then. And the old man simply and wisely said, I know one thing. In the end, we win. And if you get nothing else in the study of Revelation, in the end, you win. You're a child of God. You win. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how ugly it gets. I don't care how this doesn't make sense to me, Lord. And there are questions you're going to have till your grave and you never get them. And then the next moment you're in heaven and you say, of course, now I understand. What an awesome thought. Our weddings in the West are not like the weddings of the Jewish day. Fact is that the bride had been set up by her father and the groom by his father, and it was arranged, some of them as early as 11 and 12 years old, and many marriages by 13 and 14 years old, no later than 15, maybe 16, they were married. And so they were already then betrothed for however long period of time, because the groom then would go to the father's house. And that insula, that courtyard where the family compound was, and as the children would come along, that son would come back and he would build a house onto the outside of the home. And whenever it was done, it wasn't until the son said it was done, when the father gave the final nod, that the son then would come down and go to the bride's house. And you had to be ready for it. Hence some of the parables. And have your oil ready. And then the groom would get the bride at her house and have a processional there to the house of the groom. And there for 7 days, while everyone partied, they would consummate their marriage. This was the picture why Jesus said in John 14, the very last words to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I prepare this place. I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself. Where I am, you'll be with me forever." That's called the rapture. And we will then be in heaven enjoying awesome sights that by words have no explanation, while on this earth, hell is breaking loose. With still the desire of all of this tribulation of 7.5 years, so that there's still opportunities for millions to come to Christ, which is exactly what happens, as we'll look at. So even in the midst of all these horrible things happening, the Lord's still going to see people turn to Him. It's an awesome thing. And then that final marriage supper of the Lamb, in which we will then be united with Christ. And all of those saints out of the Old Testament that became believers, and all of those that in the tribulation became believers in who Christ was, were all a part of those bridegroom guests there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it wasn't for one evening. It's for 1,000 years. And then God's going to loose Satan one more time. Be one big final battle. And then in Genesis, that there was a heaven and an earth, that it's literally uncreated. And in Revelation 21 and 22, after Satan is bound, we have a new heaven and a new earth. And you know what that does for me? That gives me hope. Yes, it does. It gives me hope. Okay, I can get through this. We can make this happen. It'll all be okay. I don't care how bad it is. You're living at your worst, you know, the best to look forward to. But for your neighbor, your friend, some of you have family that don't know Christ. You've explained it. You witness them. You try and help them. You can only do all you can to convince them. Only God can convict them. And their will has to be changed. Their eyes are open and they start seeing it. And until that day, Jesus says, "I'm going to wait as long as I can." And don't wait. You think, "Well, Pastor, you're trying to scare me into heaven?" If I could, believe me, I would. I would. I'd do all I can to talk you into it. I can't. This is what it's all about, my friend. You work while the day is here. And the book of Revelation is the greatest book to encourage you to realize we're living for another world, man. We're living for another world. And so don't miss it. Don't miss it. In the midst of all the activities of some marriage, that's awesome. But don't forget who the person is. It's Jesus Christ. He wants to make a difference.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.